The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats at the edge of the shore. The fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down these nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And then they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees, saying, "Jesus, go away from me. Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were also James and John, son of Zebedee, whose partners were with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the beauty of this day and this family that is gathered in your midst. May your words be spoken and your words heard. Amen. And amen. Please be seated, everyone. So we're in Luke's gospel, the social justice gospel. The gospel that wants to bring anyone and everyone in the world. Oh, whoops, I'm sorry. Children's Ministry Workshop, please go with Soon Young. Sorry about that. And they'll be working on their song. Thank you. Okay, here we go, start again. Back to Luke. Social justice, bringing the community together. We don't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile or a whatever. You are a part of everything that Luke wants to present. And for the disciples, there were few in number at this point, it was not just adoration of Jesus' miracles that they were interested in. They were interested in becoming leaders in the faith. Leaders of joining Jesus, joining in his message, and sending it out at this point in their community, so people could understand who was in their midst. They would make the same journey as Jesus would. But as Jesus' journey would end on the cross, the disciples would go out from that place and go into the world with the message of the good news. Now, as they were going to go out to do this, one of the things that Luke wants us to realize is that these disciples, from Luke's perspective, wanted a deeper meaning, a deeper understanding, a deeper intimacy with Christ. They wanted to be so connected on such a deep level that when they were out in the mission fields, telling the story, preaching the good news, there would be like a tether connected between them and Christ. And as we go through the study of Luke in these weeks ahead, we will see this over and over again, and I will bring it to your attention. In this week's story, we're looking at Peter, Simon Peter. Peter, who would eventually be called to be the rock of the church. And in Luke's gospel, what is this first glimpse we have of Peter? It's God holding the mirror to him in a certain way. God challenging him in his own profession. He is Peter the fisherman. Peter doesn't have a last name. Not many people do in these stories, if any. Peter is the fisherman. And God is going right at the heart of who he is and what he does to bring him to a deeper awareness of Christ and what his eventual call and mission will be. So in this text this morning, there are three dimensions of discipleship. One is the recognition, the all-in recognition of Jesus Christ. The second is the response or confession to the same. And third is the assurance of the relationship, the connectivity, and the mission that they have been called to do by God. Now, a lot of us might think that one of the first things Jesus did after being baptized and realizing that he was beginning his public ministry, say like, wow, okay, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to start calling people right away to do this with me. And some of the Gospels may present it as such, but not Luke. Remember 2 weeks ago, we started with him unfurling the scroll and talking about the beginning of his ministry in the temple. Luke starts with the mission first and the eventual call of those to help him. Because in Luke's approach to sharing the gospel, the word of God is going to go to those who from that day are just going to go home and say, wow, that was pretty cool. And those that are going to be called to go out with God, to go out with Jesus and make a difference in the world. Luke is very careful to emphasize that the miracles, that the activity that Jesus does matches up wholeheartedly with the Word of God. They are not two separate things. They are one and the same. One is spoken, one comes through Jesus' hands, but they are one and the same. So let's take a look at three scenes in this scripture. The first scene is that there are thousands and thousands of people, heavy crowds that have come to see Jesus. That's wonderful. They are hearing about the preaching of the good news of the kingdom of God. And there is an emphasis on the energy that was created as the excitement was building that Jesus would be coming and Jesus would be speaking. Later on, a couple of weeks from now, in chapter 6 of Luke, we're going to face the question, is just listening enough? Does action have to be matched with it? But we're not there yet. The crowds right now are eager to hear God's word, and that's enough. The second scene is this miraculous catch of fish. These are professional fishermen. As we have professions today, we have doctors, we have lawyers, we have accountants, we have clergy. In those days, fishing, farming, those kind of things were the professions of the day. And Simon Peter was a little upset. A professional man, it could be maybe, seeing that I have lived some of my professional life as a salesperson, not making sales for a week and having no commission check. For Peter, he's got no fish. Nothing is happening. Not only is he going to go hungry, but he's not going to be able to sell anything or make any money. So Jesus says, okay, push your boats out there. And let's see what we can do. So first Simon, in that sort of despondent way, says, you know, we've already done this. It hasn't worked today. And Jesus says, don't worry. And Simon says, okay. You want me to put my nets out there? I'll put my nets out there. Because he was willing to get past his pain of not catching anything and concentrate on Jesus saying, you will catch something. His nets overflowed. There was so much fish that the nets were starting to rip. And they didn't want to lose anything that they were being blessed with. So what does he do? He calls for community to help. There's another boat out there. Come on, get the two boats together so we can capture all these fish. The community is building. The community knew that there was nothing going on much that night. And now there is power. There is prosperity. The fish, there are thousands and thousands of fish. And Jesus is standing there watching them all. So happy that they are blessed. But what happens? Simon Peter now faces his own lack of faith. And he says, Lord, get away from me! Because isn't it a whole lot easier to push people away that are trying to help us or trying to love us in a way when we don't want that kind of love or connection based in our lives? Sometimes we hurt the ones we love. And this whole incident places the beginning of Luke's gospel text and how Jesus' word is going to be spread in the community. It's going to be spread by the community coming together and joining together. When someone is down, you pick them up. God is with us. God will be with us and God will prosper us. That's the message that Luke is saying to us today. And then we have the third scene, which is sort of a combination of the first two scenes. In Luke, Simon now joins with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they become the nucleus. They become that inner circle. You know when you have that expression about throwing a pebble into a pond, you get a ripple effect? Those three are the pebble, and the ripple effect starts to grow and grow and grow because there are going to be lots and lots of people needed. As the metaphor and the experience of the fish, the multitudes of the fish, there will be multitudes of people who will want to know the message as Jesus' ministry goes forward. But here's Peter, the eventual rock of the church, watching all this bounty and feeling, oh man, I missed the mark, I screwed up. In front of Jesus, no less, I am really embarrassed. And what does Jesus say in response to him? Do not be afraid. When you go out there on the lake to catch fish, when you go out into the world with a new mission statement, trying to get people to realize and know the love of God, you're going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. And Jesus' response is always going to be, do not be afraid. I am with you. And it was that moment that defined Peter's life for the rest of his life. He was no longer the same. He had been touched by three words, do not be afraid. He had been touched because he felt safe enough with this Jesus to throw his little temper tantrum and to be ashamed. So his heart was open. He was vulnerable. And Jesus blessed him with those three words, do not be afraid. Because now his profession as a fisherman would not be to catch those little smelly, slimy things. Good job. It would be to catch people. And it's a lot harder with your fishing pole to catch a person. Metaphorically, fish don't ask you to explain what your ministry is. People do. That's what makes it happen. And And those words became the symbol of the grounding of the rock of the church. To this very day, do not be afraid. So what's the moral of this story? The story is not about doing things the same old way we've always done them. No. The story is about thinking outside of the box and trusting Jesus enough to say, I'm going to be out there when you cast your net, even if it has a hole in it. I will provide the community to help you and to guide you to catch the biggest amount of people possible. Let's stop fishing the way we used to and think about new ways to fish. Because Jesus has already begun to show us through word and actions that the status quo doesn't work. It didn't work then. It hasn't worked through century. All great inventions, great inspirations, great movements have been made through people making mistakes and having it become something else. Or just having enough courage to say, I'm willing to take the risk no matter what. So my friends, it's time to come together, to take out our fishing poles, dust